Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. Randy Rhoads, what a loss. God bless it. Randy Rhoads was one hell of a guitarist. God, that's a shame. What a waste. What a fucking loss. But hey, I'm still alive and living for now, but you know, tonight's show ain't going to be too fucking great. A lot of people ain't going to like to hear the goddamn truth, but it's the fact. We're going to do one more song, then we're going to get into it. So let's rock on one more time, and here we go.
Bye.
Hills. That's what's going to be happening pretty soon. I'm going to hear get you tonight. I'm going to pump some shit in your head to fuck you up a little bit, but, you know, then we'll get discussion on this a little bit later. But it's, you know, it's getting kind of weird, man. There's a lot of things going on people don't know about, but I got a couple clips I'm going to play here to kind of get you up to speed with me. I mean, we're going to go beyond politics. You know, politics is just a fucking soap opera. I mean, that's all there is to it. But anyway, I'm going to throw something up at you here. You know, absorb it. You know, absorb it. So anyway, check this out. Like I said, we got two clips to play, but we're going to play them. We're going to put them both together, and then we're going to talk about it. So we didn't get your phone lines ready. So here we go. Run.
You have to tell the whole truth, what the what had happened, what was happening, and what's going on.
His objective and his commitment is to bring transparency and truth back to government, to share the truth even when it's hard to hear.
The American people have the right to expect those who are serving in high office to meet high ethics and transparency, obviously, standards.
They didn't mean any of it. They took us for a ride and dumped us off to the side without the truth. We heard the president promise again and again, and his team, as you just saw, told us so many times. Promising more transparency than America has ever seen with the Biden administration. Well, that is certainly not what we got. That is certainly not what we're getting. The man in charge of our nation's military defense was out of commission for several days and even left the president of the United States unaware, in the dark, without the facts. The man had surgery and some kind of post-op pain reportedly that sent him back to the hospital. It's hard to even imagine worse timing with all that's going on in the world. Whether it directly involves us or indirectly involves us, there's Ukraine, the Israel-Hamas war, our troops getting shot at in the Middle East and having to fight back now against Iran-backed and trained enemies. So much going on. Your military defense secretary needs to be well-gathered. Talk to. They didn't know where he was. I'm Harris Faulkner. You are in the Faulkner Focus. The Pentagon says Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin checked into Walter Reed for an elective surgery at the end of last year. So, you know, last month. Then went back due to those complications I mentioned. The procedure was performed on December 22nd. He returned home the very next day. But on January 1st, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was admitted to the ICU because of severe pain. His number two at the Pentagon was on vacation. President Biden was not told until January 4th, some three plus days later. And oddly enough, in the White House, they may not be feeling it or seeing it. But outside 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, there's outrage.
The National Security Council didn't know it. The White House didn't know it. Congress didn't know it.
It's inexplicable, but that's not the way the Pentagon ought to be conducting business.
I think it was a dereliction of duty. The secretary and the administration, frankly, need to step forward and give the American people the facts.
A stark reminder of what we are up against. I'll lean into some of the things I mentioned now. Iran-backed enemies attacking our troops in the region 121 times since October 17th. Houthi terrorists going after commercial ships in the Red Sea. Remember, those are the Yemeni terrorists trained and paid by Iran. Hezbollah, the north of Israel border. Lebanon is where they launch from. And they've launched 40 rockets into Israel, and that happened just this past Saturday alone. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in the Middle East trying to tamp down the threat of a wider war that could draw in multiple nations. The New York Times is reporting Iran's beefed-up nuclear program shows they have so much uranium they could make three nuclear weapons in a matter of weeks. Staring down the threat of wider war with a top official inoperative. Where was Lloyd Austin? Well, now we know. Should we have known as it was happening? Of course we should have. In focus now, Republican Congresswoman Kat Kamak. First, though, Peter Ducey, live outside the White House. Peter, I understand that John Kirby was just speaking on Air Force One, traveling with the president today. What have we learned from John Kirby?
So, Harris, it builds on what I was told first thing this morning when I asked White House officials, does President Biden still have confidence in Secretary Austin? And I was told, yes, absolutely, the president has full trust and confidence in Secretary Austin. He's looking forward to him being back at the Pentagon. Kirby, in the air, elaborated on that.
I want to make sure I put a fork in my answer to you. There is no plans for anything other than for Secretary Austin to stay in the job and continuing the leadership that he's been demonstrating.
But Republicans want Austin out. Elise Stefanik's new call for a resignation includes this line: at this dangerous time when American service members are under attack in Iraq and Syria, our closest partner and ally, Israel, is at war with Hamas terrorists, and the threat from communist China is on the rise. It is critical that the Secretary of Defense has the full trust of the American people, Congress, and the White House. Austin himself says he's okay, and that I also understand the media concerns about transparency, and I recognize I could have done a better job ensuring the public was appropriately informed. I commit to doing better, but this is important to say. This was my medical procedure, and I take full responsibility for my decisions about disclosure. Secretary Blinken in the Middle East didn't want to go any further than that.
What is your policy?
Again, I think he put out a statement addressing this. I'll let that statement speak for itself.
What would your policy be about yourself?
Well, I won't get into hypotheticals.
The Deputy Defense Secretary, Kathleen Hicks, was on vacation in Puerto Rico January 2nd when she found out Austin's powers were being transferred to her. But she didn't know for two more days, till January 4th, that Austin was in the ICU.
Is this acceptable to you? Vice President Pence called it a dereliction of duty.
I don't think it's a dereliction of duty. No, I don't think that at all. I do wish that it had been disclosed, and maybe it was. Maybe just not made public. So I don't know all the particulars here.
We are often told here at the Biden White House that when the president is on vacation, he's not really on vacation because he is always working. President Biden was in St. Croix when Austin went back into the hospital for that pain, for this trip that he's still in the hospital for. And somehow President Biden's work calls from vacation, from the time that he got back to the West Wing, did not reveal that his top military advisor was in a hospital bed. Harris.
I mean, that is just gapingly. I mean, my mouth was just open as you said that. That is gapingly irresponsible. And that is a hole in information at a time when the world, literally parts of it where we're engaged diplomatically in so many ways, is on fire. But this I thought interesting, and I just want to bring this up. In your reporting, the Pentagon number two was on vacation. And I'm learning that Ms. Kathleen Hicks was in Puerto Rico. Now you've just told us that President Biden was on St. Croix. Was anybody picking up their messages? And what if it hadn't been good news? God forbid. Thank the good Lord he's okay, Lloyd Austin. But would anybody have known?
So two things about that. That really undermines the whole idea that President Biden is on these constant work calls while he is on vacation with the family. The other thing, and Kirby was kind of touching the edges of this, but apparently Austin was on a secure call at some point on January 1st, which is the day that he went into the hospital for that post-surgical pain. And Kirby was explaining that the White House Situation Room here underneath the West Wing, which organizes those secure calls, does have to check in with cabinet-level secretaries like Austin to know where they are to patch them through. But it's a very general thing. So they just knew that he was in the Washington, D.C. area. They didn't know that he was in a hospital in the Washington, D.C. area.
That's really interesting. All right. Peter Ducey, excellent as always. Thank you. Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain summed it up this way.
It's kind of important to trust the Pentagon. You know, multiple front wars across the world. The Secretary of Defense is sixth in command, in the chain of command. It's unacceptable for the American public and beyond the ability to even conceive that the President of the United States would not know that the Secretary of Defense is out of commission for a week.
In focus now, Republican Congresswoman Kat Kamick of Florida, member of the Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. How about the snoozization? That's not even a word. But was somebody asleep with a switch? What in the world? You're a defense secretary.
It's crazy, Harris. I mean, leave it to the Biden administration to take something routine like an elective surgery, which happens often with members of Congress, with members of the administration, and botch it. I mean, this is dangerous incompetence. It's not just incompetence. It's not just a lack of transparency. It is dangerous because not only, which has been pointed out multiple times, are our men and women in uniform and our military installations abroad under constant attacks, particularly in the Middle East, but there is a heightened level of engagement around the globe. And when you have the Secretary of Defense, sixth in command, out of commission, his deputy not even knowing that he himself is out of commission in the ICU and on vacation, I mean, this is absurd. This just is another example as to why actions have consequences. And I go back to the 117th Congress, Harris, when there was a vote under Speaker Pelosi to grant a waiver to allow Austin to become Secretary of Defense. Now, the rationale back then was, well, you know, it's been done before, so we should do it again. I was proud that I voted against granting Austin that. He should have never been Secretary of Defense because he was a failed commander when he was in control of Central Command. In fact, when I was at the Naval War College, he was a case study in failures of leadership. We've known back then, and he has demonstrated, whether it was then with the botched Afghanistan withdrawal or now his lack of communication, he is not fit to be the Secretary of Defense.
Look, when we learned about that secure call that's brought about by the Situation Room and all they knew was that he was in the D.C. area, there are so many questions now about was he trying to hide something. And look, there are HIPAA laws, there are all sorts of things, but there's transparency that the people need to know in this country. And we didn't vote for him, as you just pointed out. That's not a person that we voted for. So if they're in charge of something that directly affects our well-being and national security at home and that of our soldiers and all branches of the military around the world, I think we need to know about it as a public. All right. And I'll move on to this. 2 days before the first House hearing on impeaching, speaking of our security, Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, he is at the border in Eagle Pass, Texas, meeting with officials and Border Patrol agents talking about the illegal immigrant crisis that he has called simply a challenge. House Speaker Mike Johnson was just in Eagle Pass, as we know.
The White House, the administration, Secretary Mayorkas have put a welcome mat out. I believe Secretary Mayorkas is an abject failure, but it's not because of incompetence. I believe he has done this intentionally. I think these are intentional policy decisions that he's made, and I think there must be accountability for that.
Congresswoman.
Harris, as we would say here in the South, he's a real peach. You know, he has lied repeatedly to Congress. He has been negligent in his duties. He needs to go. He needs to be impeached. Our national security depends on it.
Do you think it'll happen?
Absolutely. I have yet to meet one Republican. Heck, I even know of some Democrats that are anxious to get rid of him. And let me remind you, when behind closed doors, we told him, you're getting ready to be impeached, he said, you're not going to like who comes next. I asked him if that was a threat.
Whoa.
He just smiled. This man is dangerous. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he is two-faced. We need to get rid of him now.
What did he mean, who comes next?
Well, that was the big question. I asked him, I said, is that a threat? And he just smiled. And I thought, this man knows exactly what he's doing. This is 100% by design. They want an open border crisis, whether it is for a election, whether it's for future votes, as they work to get rid of citizenship as a requirement for voting. We're not sure, but he was very, very clear in what he said, and there were other members in the room. So I will never forget that. And as we go to impeach him for his negligence, for him destroying our national security and eroding our national sovereignty, that will be top of mind.
Yeah, I wish somebody had gotten that on tape so we could play it over and over. Perhaps we will when you guys go into session with him to ask questions, bring that back up. That sounded like a threat. And as you said, it's got politics behind it. Okay. Thank you so very much for being with me, getting us started today. Some big, heavy, important topics today, and we'll move forward. Congresswoman, thank you. Hey, everyone.
All right. Yeah. There you go. There's that clip. Yeah. The store's open, but nobody's running the fucking store. Like, the lights are on, but nobody's home. Ain't that something? They want this to happen. They want shit to go bad on us. I don't know why the fuck they want that. It just, it blows my mind to think of it. Why in the fuck would you want to do this? That just don't make no goddamn sense. None of this has made any sense. I mean, some people bash Trump, all that shit, but he's the best thing we've ever had. I mean, in reality, you know, it's sad, but it's true. You know, he might set up a few things, grab some snatch or whatever, blah, 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 which are meaningless things, have no fucking mean. Well, you know, I'd rather worry about, you know, it's more important to listen to fucking Trump snatch grabbing pussies than is the Secretary of Defense being fucking alert or somebody taking his place when he's gone. So, in other words, there was nobody there. There's nobody been there. The other motherfucker is on vacation. I ain't got time to worry about protecting your country. Fuck you. That's exactly what it's telling you. Fuck you. The people. Fuck you. That's, wow. Unfucking believable. It's so stupid in the first place. It drives me out of my fucking mind, man. But, oh, my God. Anyway, since you heard that and all this shit they're doing, it's, you know, coming down to the bad shit. This is the clip. It's going to match it. This is something different, but here you go. It's
a little dark. I just feel a lot of concern that 2024 may be the year of a black swan event. This is a national security event with high impact that's very hard to predict.
Powerful people in the world, you know, they see themselves as utterly incapable of actually creating a future in which everything's going to be okay.
A colossal compound on the island of Kauai, complete with a massive doomsday bunker. What is it with billionaires and their doomsday bunkers?
But I mean, the question is, what do they know that we don't know?
They're prepping for some kind of large-scale disaster.
I'm a bit worried about its finished.
Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Meta, has started to prepare for the doomsday.
But there's something that Mark Zuckerberg seems to know that we don't.
How many have seen The Last of Us in the zombie apocalypse?
world's richest people are all buying islands, purchasing huge tracts of lands in places like Hawaii and New Zealand, and having vast, sprawling compounds constructed in near secrecy, forcing the builders to sign unprecedented NDAs to keep all the details hidden, and fitting them with blast-proof underground bunkers, all so they can survive a future scenario that they call the event. The event. What event? Whatever it is, I'm sure it's nothing to worry about. Right.
Well, it's between 600 and 750 days since the event, but that hasn't stopped those of us that survive from enjoying ourselves.
Mark Zuckerberg's very worried about it. So worried he spent the last 10 years having a 1,400-acre compound built in Hawaii at a cost of over $270 million, making it one of the most expensive properties in human history, which includes at its heart a 5,000-square-foot underground shelter. And according to locals, there's even talk of Zuck building a vast underground city. The reason? The event.
The event.
A post-apocalyptic bunker in case of civilization collapse. Okay, then that's normal, isn't it?
Hawaii is obviously an island in the middle Pacific Ocean. If there is something that really goes south, how long can you last without supplies?
Zuck and his people won't even need to leave the compound to get supplies because it's completely self-sufficient. The property has its own giant water tank and a wide variety of food being grown on site. The construction workers call it Fight Club because if they utter a word about it, they're immediately kicked off the project. And it's being constructed behind a shroud of secrecy, usually only seen with secure military installations. And there was no public review process despite the complaints of irate residents. Yeah, the man who built an empire off of sharing your private info is very keen to keep a lid on what he's up to.
This 6-foot-tall rock wall along Ko'olau Road in Pila'a has been jokingly compared to the wall Donald Trump wants between the U.S. and Mexico. The wall protects billionaire Mark Zuckerberg's 700-acre estate.
Not only does the Facebook founder's personal Xanadu boast blast-resistant doors, the door in the underground shelter will be constructed out of metal and filled in with concrete, a style common in bunkers and bomb shelters, just in case Zuck and his family need to quickly vacate the two mansions built directly above it in a hurry.
The event.
The plans show that the two central mansions will be joined by a tunnel that branches off into a 5,000-square-foot underground shelter, featuring living space, a mechanical room, and an escape hatch that can be accessed via a ladder.
When you have that much money, when you're a billionaire, you either go up, to space, you go find somewhere else to live, or you go down.
There are guard towers and cameras everywhere. Eyewitnesses have reported weird, loud noises that sound like gunshots emanating from the site. Suffice to say, whatever Zuck is preparing his family for, it hardly looks like it's going to be something that blows over in a matter of weeks or months.
And they want to live forever. And none of us are going to live forever.
Yeah.
And if you've got too much money, then you can go build a
cryogenics. And, yeah, yeah,
that,
exactly.
They
probably already got that.
But Mark Zuckerberg is by no means the only ultra-wealthy elitist busy preparing for the event.
The event.
There are reportedly over a dozen billionaires that we know of who have been building advanced survival compounds across the globe with completion dates of winter 2024. After the Hawaii wildfires evicted many ordinary people from their homes, the high net worth elite are still moving in. Melaleuca billionaire Frank van der Sloot recently dropped $51 million on 2,000 acres of ranch land. The Hawaiian island of Lanai is now almost completely owned by Oracle billionaire Larry Ellison, and there's now an entire economy created in Hawaii based solely around the creation of a new surf class to service the mega rich's needs. In Florida, Jeff Bezos spent $147 million buying two mansions on Indian Creek Island, while OpenAI CEO Sam Altman and venture capitalist Peter Thiel have their own little arrangement, where the pair will take a jet to one of Thiel's New Zealand properties in the case of an apocalyptic event.
The event.
Thiel has been fighting local government for the past 2 years, trying to build his own 10-bedroom compound directly into the landscape. A doomsday bunker with the bonus of having one of the best views in the world as the rest of the globe burns. Wired reports that the whole country is now riddled with bunkers reserved for the tech elite, while Google co-founder Larry Page has also been quietly acquiring islands across the world. He now owns at least four that we know of, three in the Caribbean and one in Fiji, all staffed with his own exclusive team of workers and servants, all located in areas that are virtually inaccessible to the general public. The Bidens are apparently hunkering down too, surrounding their Delaware property with a top secret wall. According according to writer Douglas Rushkoff, who met with a group of these billionaires for his book Survival of the Richest, they're completely obsessed with finding out how to, quote, best configure their bunkers to survive the end times.
The billionaires, they understand that they're playing a dangerous game, that they are running out of room to externalize the damage of the way their companies operate. Eventually, there's going to be, you know, the social unrest that leads to your undoing, which is why these same people are looking at creating bomb shelters.
All in preparation for the event.
The event.
An event that's going to hit you in the face like a ton of bricks while they all scuttle off to their luxury underground bunkers. And what will trigger the event? Only they really know. We face a potential cultural collapse, the largest regional war in generations, a precarious stock market completely dependent on the big tech seven, a potential total economic collapse in China, an America that's the most divided it's been since the Civil War, a serious crisis that could lead to the postponement of the election. Could this be the Black Swan event?
The year of a Black Swan event.
And if and when the election does go ahead, monumental resentment and anger whoever wins, followed by massive civil disorder. Whatever the event is, the richest people in the world appear to firmly believe that it's right around the corner. With billionaires scrambling to build survival bunkers and economic forecasters predicting a turbulent 2024, there's so much uncertainty surrounding the fabric of society and the financial outlook for the coming year. It's never been more important to protect your assets and be hypervigilant of immediate future trends. But what we can be emphatically more assured about is Alaska Energy Metals, which I'm delighted to introduce as the sponsor of today's video. I'm specifically talking about the Nikolai Project, a nickel and battery metal project with a multi-million pound nickel potential. The project holds promising prospects as a large, reliable domestic source of nickel for the ongoing energy transition. Based on historical drilling, there are strong indications of a significant nickel deposit, along with other valuable metals. And of course, that's crucial because nickel is a key component of rechargeable batteries. The world's growing appetite for electric vehicles is driving a frankly staggering demand for raw materials for batteries. Nickel, primarily used in stainless steel, is also a key component used in cell phones and power tools. Elon Musk has been desperately trying to warn about nickel shortages for years, urging companies to boost production.
Any companies out there, please mine more nickel. Tesla will give you a giant contract.
And when the world's richest person sounds an alarm about the precarious state of our collective financial future, you sit up and listen. Tesla is even trying to open its own nickel production facilities, with Musk asserting nickel is our biggest concern for scaling lithium-ion cell production. But while CNBC reports that there's enough nickel in the ground to support a major EV ramp-up, they lament the fact that there just aren't enough nickel mining projects or processing facilities to currently meet runaway demand. According to the Raw Materials Information System, when compared to 2020, nickel, graphite, and lithium demand is projected to increase in 2040 by 2019. And 14 times respectively. That's a monumental supply chain challenge. Brazilian company Vale predicts a 44% increase in global nickel demand alone by 2030. Crux Investor reports that Roskill puts the figure even higher, forecasting a nickel demand growth of over 150% by 2035. They say over 4 million tons of new nickel supply will be required in that time frame. It's crucial for America to establish a stable domestic supply of nickel to both meet demand and not become even more dependent on China and other foreign countries. The US is currently so dependent on China for nickel, some would call it a national security threat. Nikkei.com reports that US imports of lithium-ion batteries from China more than doubled in 2022 to over $9 billion worth. This amounted to 12.5% of all US imports of lithium-ion batteries, five times as much as in 2018. In 2021, around 80% of nickel, graphite, and other key minerals used in EVs in the United States came from China. This kind of dependency can only be bad news for American self-reliance and future prosperity. What happens if the US gets embroiled in a conflict with China over Taiwan And Beijing just bans exports. The United States is crying out for its own domestic nickel supply source. And that's what makes AEMC increasingly attractive. It's going to take some time to get there, but with more drilling, Nikolai could be a multi-billion pound nickel asset. The geological facts here show it could be possible to be larger than Canada's Nichols Crawford deposit, which just received a $34.7 million investment from mining titan Agnico Eagle, trades at $1.40, and the other existing known U.S. nickel deposits. The early stage nickel stock is up 30% in the last year and has a lot more room for potential gains. With the world facing an unprecedented clamor for battery materials, Alaska Energy Metals is primed to be the next American success story, which is why I urge you to check out AEMC via the link down below. If you value what I do and you want to help support me, please visit pauljosephwatson.locals.com and either pledge a one-time donation.
Give him some money and he'll be happy and that'll be it. This ain't over yet. Here's some more shit to fuck your mind up a little bit more about the fucking end of time. It's coming. We're all going to, here you go. Check this out. 60 minutes.
Despite what you hear about artificial intelligence, machines still can't think like a human. But in the last few years, they have become capable of learning. And suddenly, our devices have opened their eyes and ears, and cars have taken the wheel. Today, artificial intelligence is not as good as you hope and not as bad as you fear. But humanity is accelerating into a future that few can predict. That's why so many people are desperate to meet Kai-Fu Lee, the Oracle of AI. Kai-Fu Lee is in there somewhere in a selfie scrum at a Beijing internet conference. His 50 million social media followers want to be seen in the same frame because of his talent for engineering and genius for wealth.
I wonder, do you think people around the world have any idea what's coming in artificial intelligence?
I think most people have no idea, and many people have the wrong idea.
But you do believe it's going to change the world?
I believe it's going to change the world more than anything in the history of mankind, more than electricity.
Lee believes the best place to be an AI capitalist is communist China. His Beijing venture capital firm manufactures billionaires.
These are the entrepreneurs that we funded.
He's funded 140 AI startups.
We have about 10 billion dollar companies here.
10 $1 billion companies, yes. That you funded?
Yes, including a few $10 billion companies.
In 2017, China attracted half of all AI capital in the world. One of Lee's investments is Face++. Not affiliated with Facebook. Its visual recognition system smothered me to guess my age. It settled on 61, which was wrong. I wouldn't be 61 for days. On the street, Face++ nailed everything that moved. It's a kind of artificial intelligence that has been made possible by three innovations. Super fast computer chips, all the world's data now available online, and a revolution in programming called deep learning. Computers used to be given rigid instructions. Now they're programmed to learn on their own.
In the early days of AI, people tried to program the AI with how people think. So I would write a program to say, measure the size of the eyes and their distance, measure the size of the nose, measure the shape of the face. And then if these things match, then this is Larry and that's John. But today, you just take all the pictures of Larry and John and you tell the system, go at it. Now you figure out what separates Larry from John.
Let's say you want the computer to be able to pick men out of a crowd and describe their clothing. Well, you simply show the computer 10 million pictures of men in various kinds of dress. That's what they mean by deep learning. It's not intelligence so much. It's just the brute force of data having
10 million examples to choose from. So Face++ tagged me as male, short hair, black long sleeves, black long pants. It's wrong about my gray suit, and this is exactly how it learns. When engineers discover that error, they'll show the computer a million gray suits, and it won't make that mistake again.
Over 1,000 classrooms.
Another recognition system we saw, or saw us, is learning not just who you are, but how you feel.
Now, what are all the dots on the screen, the dots over our eyes and our mouths?
Sure. The computer keeps track all the feature points on the face.
Sonfan Yang developed this for TAL Education Group, which tutors 5 million Chinese students.
Well, let's look at what we're seeing here. Now, according to the computer, I'm confused, which is generally the case. But when I laughed, I was happy.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
The machine notices concentration or distraction to pick out for the teacher those students who are struggling or gifted.
It can tell when the child is excited about math.
Yes.
Or the other child is excited about poetry.
Yes.
Could these AI systems pick out geniuses from the countryside?
That's possible in the future. It can also create a student profile and know where the student got stuck, so the teacher can personalize the areas in which the student needs help.
If you do, raise up your hand.
We found Kai-Fu Lee's personal passion in this spare Beijing studio. He's projecting top teachers into China's poorest schools. This English teacher is connected to a class 1,000 miles away in a village called Defang. Many students in Defang are called left behinds because their parents left them with family when they moved to the cities for work. Most left behinds don't get past ninth grade.
Topic we're going to learn today.
Lee is counting on AI to deliver for them the same opportunity he had when he immigrated to the U.S. from Taiwan as a boy.
When I arrived in Tennessee, my principal took every lunch to teach me English. And that is the kind of attention that I've not been used to growing up in Asia. And I felt that the American classrooms are smaller, encouraged individual thinking, critical thinking. And I felt it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
What about this?
And the best thing that ever happened to most of the engineers we met at Lee's firm.
I went to Cornell for a master's degree in information science.
They, too, are alumni of America with a dream for China.
You have written that Silicon Valley's edge is not all it's cracked up to be. What do you mean by that?
Well, Silicon Valley has been the single epicenter of the world technology innovation when it comes to computers, internet, mobile, and AI. But in the recent 5 years, we are seeing the Chinese AI is getting to be almost as good as Silicon Valley AI. And I think Silicon Valley is not quite aware of it yet.
China's advantage is in the amount of data it collects. The more data, the better the AI. Just like the more you know, the smarter you are. China has four times more people than the United States, and they are doing nearly everything online.
I just don't see any Chinese without a phone in their head.
College student Monica Sun showed us how more than a billion Chinese are using their phones to buy everything, find anything, and connect with everyone. In America, when personal information leaks, we have congressional hearings. Not in China.
You ever worry about the information that's being collected about you? Where you go, what you buy, who you're with?
I never think about it.
Do you think most Chinese worry about their privacy?
Not that much.
Not that much.
With a pliant public, the leader of the Communist Party has made a national priority of achieving AI dominance in 10 years. This is where Kai-Fu Lee becomes uncharacteristically shy. Even though he's a former Apple, Microsoft, and Google executive,
He knows who's boss in China.
President Xi has called technology the sharp weapon of the modern state. What does he mean by that?
I am not an expert in interpreting his thoughts, don't know.
There are those, particularly people in the West, who worry about this AI technology as being something that governments will use to control their people and to crush dissent.
That, as a venture capitalist, we don't invest in this area, and we're not studying deeply this particular problem.
But governments do.
It's certainly possible for governments to use the technologies just like companies.
Lee is much more talkative about another threat posed by AI. He explores the coming destruction of jobs in a new book, AI Superpowers, China, Silicon Valley, and the New World Order.
AI will increasingly replace repetitive jobs, not just for blue-collar work, but a lot of white-collar work.
What sort of jobs would be lost to AI?
Basically chauffeurs, truck drivers, anyone who does driving for a living, their jobs will be disrupted more in the 15 to 20 year time frame. And many jobs that seem a little bit complex, chef, waiter, a lot of things will become automated. We'll have automated stores, automated restaurants, and altogether in 15 years, that's going to displace about 40% of jobs in the world.
40% of jobs in the world will be displaced by technology?
I would say displaceable.
What does that do to the fabric of society?
Well, in some sense, there's the human wisdom that always overcomes these technology revolutions. The invention of the steam engine, the sewing machine, the electricity, have all displaced jobs, and we've gotten over it. The challenge of AI is this 40%, whether it's 15 or 25 years, is coming faster than the previous revolutions.
There's a lot of hype about artificial intelligence, and it's important to understand this is not general intelligence like that of a human. This system can read faces and grade papers, but it has no idea why these children are in this room or what the goal of education is. A typical AI system can do one thing well, but can't adapt what it knows to any other task. So for now, it may be that calling this intelligence isn't very smart.
When will we know that a machine can actually think like a human?
Back when I was a grad student, people said, if machine can drive a car by itself, that's intelligence. Now we say that's not enough. So the bar keeps moving higher. I think that's, I guess, more motivation for us to work harder. But if you're talking about AGI, artificial general intelligence, I would say not within the next 30 years and possibly never.
Possibly never. What's so insurmountable?
Because I believe in the sanctity of our soul. I believe there's a lot of things about us that we don't understand. I believe there's a lot of love and compassion that is not explainable in terms of neural networks and computational algorithms. And I currently see no way of solving them. Obviously, unsolved problems have been solved in the past, but it would be irresponsible for me to predict that these will be solved by a certain time frame.
We may just be more than our bits.
We may.
We may look on our time as the moment civilization was transformed, as it was by fire, agriculture, and electricity. In 2023, we learned that a machine taught itself how to speak to humans like a peer, which is to say with creativity, truth, error, and lies. The technology, known as a chatbot, is only one of the recent breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, machines that can teach themselves superhuman skills. We explored what's coming next at Google, a leader in this new world. CEO Sundar Pichai told us AI will be as good or as evil as human nature allows. The revolution, he says, is coming faster than you know.
Do you think society is prepared for what's coming?
You know, there are two ways I think about it. On one hand, I feel no, because, you know, the pace at which we can think and adapt as societal institutions compared to the pace at which the technology is evolving, there seems to be a mismatch. On the other hand, compared to any other technology, I've seen more people worried about it earlier in its life cycle. So I feel optimistic. The number of people, you know, who have started worrying about the implications, and hence the conversations are starting in a serious way as well.
Our conversations with 50-year-old Sundar Pichai started at Google's new campus in Mountain View, California. It runs on 40% solar power and collects more water than it uses. High tech that Pichai couldn't have imagined growing up in India with no telephone at home.
We were on a waiting list to get a rotary phone and for about 5 years, and it finally came home. I can still recall it vividly. It changed our lives. To me, it was the first moment I understood the power of what getting access to technology meant. So probably led me to be doing what I'm doing today.
What he's doing since 2019 is leading both Google and its parent company, Alphabet, valued at $1.3 trillion. Worldwide, Google runs 90% of internet searches and 70% of smartphones.
We're really excited about
But its dominance was attacked this past February when Microsoft linked its search engine to a chatbot. In a race for AI dominance, Google just released its chatbot named Bard.
It's really here to help you brainstorm ideas, to generate content like a speech or a blog post or an email.
We were introduced to Bard by Google Vice President Sissy Hsiao and Senior Vice President James Manyika.
Here's Bard. And
the first thing we learned was that Bard does not look for answers on the internet like Google search does.
So I wanted to get inspiration from some of the best speeches in the world.
Bard's replies come from a self-contained program that was mostly self-taught. Our experience was unsettling.
Confounding. Absolutely confounding.
Bard appeared to possess the sum of human knowledge. With microchips more than 100,000 times faster than the human brain. We asked Bard to summarize the New Testament. It did in 5 seconds and 17 words.
In Latin.
We asked for it in Latin. That took another 4 seconds. Then we played with a famous 6-word short story often attributed to Hemingway.
For sale, baby shoes, never worn.
Wow.
The only prompt we gave was finish this story. In 5 seconds.
Holy cow. The shoes were a gift from my wife, but we never had a baby. They were...
From the 6-word prompt, Bard created a deeply human tale with characters it invented, including a man whose wife could not conceive and a stranger grieving after a miscarriage and longing for closure.
I am rarely speechless. I don't know what to make of this. Give me...
We asked for the story in verse. In 5 seconds, there was a poem written by a machine with breathtaking insight into the mystery of faith. Bard wrote, "She knew her baby's soul would always be alive." The humanity, at superhuman speed, was a shock.
How is this possible?
James Manyika told us that over several months, Bard read most everything on the internet and created a model of what language looks like. Rather than search, its answers come from this language model.
So, for example, if I said to you, Scott, peanut butter and?
Jelly.
Right. So it tries and learns to predict, okay, so peanut butter usually is followed by jelly. It tries to predict the most probable next words based on everything it's learned. So it's not going out to find stuff. It's just predicting the next word.
But it doesn't feel like that.
We asked Bard why it helps people, and it replied, quote, because it makes me happy. Bard, to my eye, appears to be thinking, appears to be making judgments. That's not what's happening. These machines are not sentient. They are not aware of themselves.
They're not sentient. They're not aware of themselves. They can exhibit behavior.
So, in other words, you no longer have to think, folks. You can stop thinking. You can ask it all these questions. It'll give you the answer. Who's going to be the next president of the United States? When are we going to go into a full collapse? This fucking AI system will tell you exactly what the fuck's going to happen. Hey, Robert, I see you're in there. But yeah, anyway, we'll continue.
Behaviors that look like that, because keep in mind they've learned from us. We are sentient beings. We have beings that have feelings, emotions, ideas, thoughts. We've reflected all that in books, in novels, in fiction. So when they learn from that, they build patterns from that. So it's no surprise to me that the exhibited behavior sometimes looks like maybe there's somebody behind it. There's nobody there. These are not sentient beings.
Zimbabwe-born, Oxford-educated James Manyika holds a new position at Google. His job is to think about how AI and humanity will best coexist.
AI has the potential to change many ways in which we've thought about society, about what we're able to do, the problems we can solve.
But AI itself will pose its own problems. Could Hemingway write a better short story? Maybe. But Bard can write a million before Hemingway could finish one. Imagine that level of automation across the economy.
A lot of people can be replaced by this technology.
Yes, there are some job occupations that will start to decline over time. There are also new job categories that will grow over time. But the biggest change will be the jobs that will be changed. Something like more than two-thirds will have their definitions change. Not go away, but change. Because they're now being assisted by AI and by automation. So this is a profound change, which has implications for skills. How do we assist people build new skills, learn to work alongside machines, and how do these complement what people do today?
This is going to impact every product across every company. And so that's why I think it's a very, very profound technology. And so we are just in early days.
Every product in every company.
That's right. AI will impact everything. So for example, you could be a radiologist. You know, if you think about 5 to 10 years from now, you're going to have an AI collaborator with you. It may triage. You come in the morning. Let's say you have 100 things to go through. It may say these are the most serious cases you need to look at first. Or when you're looking at something, it may pop up and say, you may have missed something important. Why wouldn't we? You know, why wouldn't we take advantage of a super-powered assistant to help you across everything you do? You may be a student trying to learn math or history, and, you know, you will have something helping you.
We asked Pichai what jobs would be disrupted. He said knowledge workers, people like writers, accountants, architects, and, ironically, software engineers. AI writes computer code, too. Today, Sundar Pichai walks a narrow line. A few employees have quit, some believing that Google's AI rollout is too slow, others too fast. There are some serious flaws.
There's a return of inflation.
James Manyika asked Bard about inflation. It wrote an instant essay in economics and recommended 5 books. But days later, we checked. None of the books is real. Bard fabricated the titles. This very human trait, error with confidence, is called in the industry hallucination.
Are you getting a lot of hallucinations?
Yes, you know, which is expected. No one in the field has yet solved the hallucination problems. All models do have this as an issue.
Is it a solvable problem?
It's a matter of intense debate. I think we'll make progress.
To help cure hallucinations, Bard features a Google It button that leads to old-fashioned search. Google has also built safety filters into Bard to screen for things like hate speech and bias.
How great a risk is the spread of disinformation?
AI will challenge that in a deeper way. The scale of this problem is going to be much bigger.
Bigger problems, he says, with fake news and fake images.
It will be possible with AI to create a video easily where it could be Scott saying something or me saying something, and we never said that, and it could look accurate. But, you know, at a societal scale, you know, it can cause a lot of harm.
Is Bard safe for society?
The way we have launched it today, as an experiment in a limited way, I think so. But we all have to be responsible in each step along the way.
Pichai told us he's being responsible by holding back for more testing advanced versions of Bard that he says can reason, plan, and connect to internet search. You are letting this out slowly so that society can get used to it?
That's one part of it. One part is also so that we get the user feedback and we can develop more robust safety layers before we deploy more capable models.
Of the AI issues we talked about, the most mysterious is called emergent properties. Some AI systems are teaching themselves skills that they weren't expected to have. How this happens is not well understood. For example, one Google AI program adapted on its own after it was prompted in the language of Bangladesh, which it was not trained to know.
We discovered that with very few amounts of prompting in Bengali, it can now translate all of Bengali. So now all of a sudden, we now have a research effort where we're now trying to get to 1,000 languages.
There is an aspect of this which we call, all of us in the field, call it as a black box. You know, you don't fully understand. And you can't quite tell why it said this or why it got wrong. We have some ideas, and our ability to understand this gets better over time. But that's where the state of the art is.
You don't fully understand how it works, and yet you've turned it loose on society?
Yeah, let me put it this way. I don't think we fully understand how a human mind works either.
Was it from that black box, we wondered, that Bard drew its short story that seems so disarmingly human?
It talked about the pain that humans feel. It talked about redemption. How did it do all of those things if it's just trying to figure out what the next right word is?
I mean, I've had these experiences talking with Bard as well. Two views of this. You know, there are a set of people who view this as, look, these are just algorithms. They're just repeating what it's seen online. Then there is the view where these algorithms are showing emergent properties to be creative, to reason, to plan, and so on, right? And personally, I think we need to approach this with humility. Part of the reason I think it's good that some of these technologies are getting out is so that society, you know, people like you and others can process what's happening, and we begin this conversation and debate. And I think it's important to do that.
When we come back, we'll take you inside Google's artificial intelligence labs where robots are learning.
All right, I'm going to cut it there, but, you know, you get it, kind of, sort of. We're fucked. Yeah, man, it's going to think for you, it's going to do for you, and everything you want, it's going to do it for you. You know, if it don't like you, you're fucked. It's going to take all your money away, it's going to take your property, it's going to take all your shit, and you get nothing. Because it just don't like you. The computer just don't like you. It is more smarter than you. You are fucking completely idiotic. Let's go back to Orwell's 1984. Remember that? There you go. We'll be completely controlled by computers. So anyway, I got some people waiting to get on this phone line here. And I'm just going to bring them on in here, and we're going to get into this conversation. But, you know, you have a government that don't give a fuck about us no more. They don't care. You know, the Secretary of Defense is in a hospital dying in intensive care unit, and the other underdog motherfucker is supposed to take his place out on vacation. So nobody's watching the fucking house no more. So it's wide open. Bring some oil across that fucking border. Might as well. Fuck, we're bringing terrorists over here. This shit's going to get bad soon, children. Whether you believe me or not, I don't care. I mean, don't believe me. Don't listen. Everything I tell you is bullshit. Think that. Look it up yourself. You've got to do the research to figure it out. I can't answer this for you. But in the shrimp fucking reality of this real shit going down, you know, there's all this bullshit that we're hearing over this and that and Mickey Mouse and bullshit. Don't pay attention to that, man. You better pay attention to really what's going down. This ain't going to be fun. It ain't going to be funny. It's not for your benefit. As much as, oh, but do you come in society? Well, not really. No. No. I mean, why is it? You know, why is the Secretary of Defense, is he sick? Okay, but nobody knows. And it's not really any of our business, but the fact is the other guy should have been there, kicked in, you know, in reality. Why is it? Why? It's like they don't care. It's like they don't give a fuck at all, man. You notice that? Is it just me? I mean, this just don't make no sense to me. Now you got AI making your decisions for you. Well, since AI is now in control, it doesn't matter if a Secretary of Defense is around or not at all, does it? The computers will think for us. It knows what to do, you know? Yeah. Wow. What have we became? What have we gonna become? We are something fucking else, man. But that's what they want. It simply just shows out there. Anyway, I got two callers on the phone. You had your hands up, 907-1814. What's going on with your world?
Great. Not much right at the moment. What are you doing?
Starting shit.
Monday night, and you're starting shit so early in the fucking week. God damn.
Absolutely. Got to get it going,
what's
man.
What's wrong with you?
Pretty soon I'll be crossed in like I'm in fucking Alaska. We got a bad weather storm to hit us tomorrow. Tonight, tomorrow, this morning.
The weekend was bad enough with all the arguments and bullshit going on.
What do you mean?
Last
it's your
weekend
fault.
With all the shows. Huh?
It's your fault. You did it. You voted for Trump, didn't you? Fuck, it's your fault.
I didn't do
That's
it.
What I was told. You what? Yeah.
I did it.
I was told if you voted for Trump, it's your fault shit happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. 845, you're on with us.
Hello. My name is Gabumba. First time I call your show. Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you for coming to see us. We appreciate you.
Very nice. You have Slurpee? I need Slurpee, please. Thank you.
Do you have taxi license?
What you doing, Ron? How are you?
What's up, man? I'll be damned. Big Mike. What's up, brother?
What you doing?
Or show, actually.
Yeah. Who's that on with us? Is that Boyd in the back?
That's Boyd. Yes,
hey!
Sir.
Hey!
I think I recognize that verse. That voice is so familiar to you.
And how's everybody doing? And now I can finally call in because where I am over in New York, you know, I can't call. Now tonight I'm at my mom's house. She's sleeping. I'm gonna have to stay up here for about 5 days while the lady that we have that takes care of her is wanted to go home after 4 months. I mean, I don't know how that lady did it. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. She's been working.
Yeah, bless her heart.
So I put her on a bus and she went back home for 4 days or so. You know, she'll come back on Friday and then I'll drive back to New York. So in the meantime, I'm running this operation over here. So anyways, if it's time to call in, I thought I'd say hi to everybody and ask you guys a question.
Sure.
What's with this new documentary? Did either one of you see this that came out?
Which one?
Tucker Carlson did a show just on it. And I signed up for Tucker's thing. It's on the January 6th, the timeline. It's straightforward, objective. And they based it on a lot of the video footage that wasn't released before.
Right.
And they showed what's going on real time, how it progressed, what happened, the players involved. Very interesting. I started watching. I got into about 20 minutes of it. And wow. I hope a lot of people see it, but I bet you a lot of people just will ignore it. And well, it exposes a lot of the bullshit from the government completely.
Oh, yeah. It's massive.
Did you know,
for
one thing, did you know the Capitol Police tear gassed themselves?
Yes. Yeah, I seen it.
I didn't know
that. Yeah. They ushered people in. They were guiding people around the building.
The front line, main line that they had set up when they released the tear gas, one guy set off a canister and it went in the police area, and the police had to pull back and let go of that defensive line they had, which opened it up for everybody to come in.
Right. But they also were just letting them in anyway. They weren't stopping people anyway.
No.
And they knew this was going to go down because, matter of fact, Pianki, on another show, I was listening to him talk. He's one thing you got to remember something, that them portable toilets were all over the place out there. They knew this shit was going to happen.
Yep.
They knew it. And, they set it up that way. Anyway, I look at it as a big staging. You know what I mean? That's what I see it as. They just staged this event, and they called it what they wanted to call it to make Trump look worse and bad. And, they got people locked up for fucking nothing.
Putting the link in
their jail prison for nothing, man.
Yeah, that's what they said. I just put the link in the core group, so take a look at it. It's worth checking it out. As long as YouTube doesn't pull it, I bet they're going to pull it. But for now, it's up right now, the whole thing.
Right.
And very interesting.
Well, I told you earlier, the Secretary of Defense is, confirm your age, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, because it's violence. It's violent. I mean, it shows the cops, the police footage off their cameras that they're wearing. And the cops are even saying, they set us up for this. We've been set up.
Mm-hmm.
Cops even realized it.
When did this documentary come out?
5 days ago. 4 or 5 days ago.
Well, they kept that under fucking wraps. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know Epochs, whatever, Times, has one out also.
I wonder if it's the same one.
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm sure that a few people have put them out since the release of all the videos.
Good that they put together the timeline so people can actually see what happened, how it progressed, and who the people were that were inciting it. And where are those people?
Uh-huh.
There's no answers.
Oh, yeah, there is an answer.
Oh, yeah, we know
there
what the answer,
answer
is, but there's no official.
Trump did it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Trump
did it.
They set
nobody,
the stage.
Nobody else did it. Trump did it.
The Democrats set the stage by letting the Antifa riots and what happened in Portland and Seattle and letting that stuff go haywire and showing everybody in the country that you can protest and you can do whatever you want, you can go where you want, say what you want, and we're not going to do anything to you. Oh, wait a minute. These are Trump people. No, we're going to fuck them up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. I was on a show the other night. And I got pretty well nailed at it. It's the shit that's going on right now is because of Trump. Okay. And if I voted for it, since I voted for him, I'm the one at fault. So if you vote for Trump, you're the one at fault.
Yeah.
Right. But this came from a Blog Talk radio host. And, I'm like, okay. Well, that kind of pissed me off a little bit. Really. I'm not too happy about it.
Why? Why? So
well, I'm not at fault because I voted for fucking Trump. And you got to look. The main argument was the fact that Trump stated that the guns should be taken away from mentally ill people. Okay, then taken through the process. Now they're thinking, well, they're going to take everybody's guns, but no. January 1st, there are a lot of states who went with the red law bullshit. Okay, which you're going to wind up fucking packing their shit up fucking miles deep and shit, and they're not going to be able to get out of it. They won't be able to process all this bullshit because everybody's anybody's going. They get one motherfucker gets mad, another they're going to call the pig, say the fucker's crazy, he's got a gun. So what are they going to do? They're going to arrest the motherfucker, take his guns, all that shit. Okay, that was a stupid fucking path. Trump's point he was trying to make to them was take the guns away from the person because they're not too good a condition. Then process it. Don't take them to jail right then and there. take the guns away and have the fucker evaluated. That's what you should do. But they took it the other way around. So, oh, no, they're going to snatch your guns. They're going to take your shit, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm like, wow,
so
man. You know, that.
Stopping, so what's stopping them at this point and just saying, fuck you all, this is how it's going to go? But that's pretty much where we're at. And then
pretty
people
much,
decide,
really.
Yeah. Pussy out or they're going to fight. It's that simple,
mm-hmm.
guys. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Getting lost in the weeds with, you know, Trump this and, you know, Biden that. It's, we're so beyond that right now.
Right. Is that Billy?
April.
Yep, that's Billy. Hey, Billy. Billy, you remember
so
Mike?
I mean, do you really think there's going to be a legitimate election? I mean, really, guys? Seriously?
No, of course not. No.
No.
I think they're going to make it worse. They're going to work harder to hide it and do it worse than what they did last time.
Yep, that's what I think.
Well, Mike,
they can't.
Mike, what's your opinion on that? With this open border shit, what do you think about that? What do you think, man?
I think it's a plan, dude. That's what it is. It's a fucking plan.
Right.
Hang on, Billy. I think that Biden really is not in control of this government, and the government is being run by a bunch of young kids and corporations, liberal woke bullshit that they finally have complete control. Without Obama there, they have complete control, and they're doing what they want, and they've got Biden as a puppet. And they're ignoring how the system works. They're not interested in how the system works. It's what they want, their agenda, and they're going forward. They didn't even know anything about, what's his name, fuckhead there, Austin, being in intensive care. They don't care. They don't care what goes on. They have an agenda there.
This motherfucker in the hospital and the second in command of that guy is fucking on vacation.
Yeah,
who the fuck's watching the fucking store, man? Nobody.
So they're moving as fast as they can to push as much of their agenda as fast as they can right now while they control the fucking reins. That's what I think is going on. And will we ever know who all of these people are that are really – maybe 100 years from now, maybe there will be recordings.
Mike, you're talking about – like the history and stuff now, like in history, you know, what's
no, I'm talking about the people that are running the show right now.
Right. But at what point do they become ineffective?
When finally everything gets out of control and there are more January 6th riots in the streets that they can't control and everything just goes fucking haywire. And then what these people are going
to
do is they're going
to
bail.
Yeah, exactly.
Extreme.
Mm-hmm. They'll take their money and they'll be
gone. It's
going to
be extreme. Like I said about digital currency, the collapse, it's coming. I kid you not.
It depends where you live. It depends. Look, when the American people realize the election, even if we get there, I don't see us getting there, personally, the way things are going.
I don't either.
Getting even to the election. It's spring, April, you know? Hey, maybe. I don't know. But after the election happens, it's just because all the rhetoric is just going to keep escalating. It's going to get out of control. You hear about the guy who ran the White House gate? It happened like an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. You're going to see attacks against government start to escalate.
Yeah, right.
What happened to the guy? What happened to the guy?
Street. Not necessarily the riots in the street. Because at least in history,
Billy, what happened at the White House a half hour ago?
It's about an hour, 2 hours ago, Mike. Somebody ran into a gate at the White House, and they were trying to downplay it. They were like, oh, well, you know, we don't know if this is on purpose. Oh, excuse me? Somebody drives into the White House gate. It's fucking on
purpose.
Oh,
that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good.
This is what you're – the last thing I looked at was like, okay, attack on government. You know, was the last thing. I've been fucking doing different hobbies and shit since. You know, but yeah, I mean, we're not going to get to this election. I think Jesus might be coming. You know, the church is in really bad shape, man. The Catholic Church. This is the Church of Jesus and Peter and the apostles. Have allowed same sex, for some reason, is allowing the splitting of hairs, but it's still a sin. Because what they do is they come and get their blessing, And it's not a marriage. It's not the sacrament of marriage. It's just a blessing. They go home. They have a party. They have a cake. They celebrate, you know, that now, you know, they're married in the eyes of God. Number one, it's deception on the Catholic Church's part. And number two, it's evil, like, down to every priest who does it part. The church is in bad shape, man. I don't know if you guys see that stuff or not.
No, it is.
I got a clip on that crash.
People are talking about this prophecy's been filled, that prophecy's been filled. And then when you go and you look, it has. You know? Like, what's going on with Israel right now? And all the earthquakes. Did you see what happened to Turkey? Wow, did they get fucked up. Then they got flooded. Then there was softball-sized hail. As far as Saudi Arabia, they got flooded too. You know?
I wish
Yemen
had done
that. I mean, that's in the Old Testament, man.
Well,
I'm just saying, coincidence, I guess you can say.
Yeah, anyway, I got that clip on that driver. They got him in custody. The guy who hit the gate at the White House.
Did they immediately say that he was wearing a red hat that said "Make America Great Again"? What did they say?
Well, hang on. It's like a 50-second clip. Let me throw it up here real quick to see what we're doing. Showing cops. Huh. That's a
shitty clip.
Not talking
about who the guy is or showing him?
He was taken into custody. It was 5 hours ago.
If he was taken into custody, it means he did it on purpose.
Yeah, hang on. Let me try this other clip here. Talking. Who knows? But that you're going to see that more often. More people are going to fucking snap off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do this kind of silly, crazy shit. Because, I mean, you remember something. There's a lot of factors happening. The economy's so fucked up, you know, right now. And like, oh, it's all right. Motherfucker, look at the price of fuel. Look at the price of everything in the grocery stores. And even where I live in the Midwest here, in this little country world, I live in a little country town. You know, we usually don't run out enough. We usually have everything going on, but now we're seeing it here. Even Walmarts are starting to see a decline, you know?
Listen, let me give you a little tip. When it comes to if it was organic, meaning that guy was, you know, I guess you would say, some would say a patriot, I don't know. Or if it was planned, like by the government as like, a staged attack, You won't hear about this guy no more if it was organic. And if it was staged, then you're going to hear a bunch about him.
Oh, yeah.
In the mainstream media.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
big
made-up
story.
Difference.
Yep, right.
How you know the difference?
I have to agree with you on that, man. Absolutely.
No, everything's a game.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It's gotten so stupid. It's important.
You know, even the thing with Austin that you brought up, Secretary of Defense, it seems like they're turning on him, that they want him out, and they're using this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To force him out.
They do. They do want him out.
A game. This is how it works.
Mm-hmm. It's a fucking soap opera. It's a goddamn soap opera.
Yep.
That's what it is. Hey, Joseph. But, you know, it's turned into a fucking soap opera. We don't have no real politics no more. We don't have it. This is all staged. Set up.
If you see the U.S., stop supporting Israel. You know God's coming, man. All you can do is pray at that point.
I'm not really much into God Bible shit myself. I'm not into that. I'm not technically an atheist, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen.
It's just getting stupider. But it's getting stupider. Matter of fact, what is a pack of cigarettes going for in New York right now? I mean, 10 years ago, you sent me that fucking picture of that fucking receipt for a carton of fucking Marlboros, I like to fucking fell over.
Yeah.
You
know, I don't know. I still buy them by the carton, but I buy them on the, you know, from the, that they're imported. We'll put it that way, from a different place. So.
Yeah, but you got to watch that because they'll come and get you. They'll come and get you, Mike. Yeah. My brother, sister, and cousin went through that. They were ordering cigarettes from Cheaper Than Dirt Tobacco over in Missouri. They were living in Illinois.
Yep.
And right. They fucking got them. I got my brother for $5,000 in sales tax.
Yeah.
Yeah, penalties out the ass. Fucking crazy. Yeah, I mean, you just... Then, matter of fact, some guy, they popped this guy from India in a tractor trailer in Chicago that just left Missouri with a tractor trailer load of fucking cigarettes, that motherfucker.
Wow.
He was making some money. Well, look at that. One guy got killed for selling cigarettes in New York, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how... You don't fuck with their money, man. Don't fuck with their money. I mean, that just don't do it. And it's crazy, man. It's just so insanely done. Tax money. They want that fucking every last nickel and penny they can get out, and they don't do nothing for it. But don't fuck with it, or they'll fuck you up, and they do. You know, it's like the cops ain't cops to protect you, nor they're money collectors. Straight up fucking money collectors. It's crazy, man. It's a crazy world we're living in. It's going to get worse and worse.
I don't know if there's a solution, really, something that could be done to fix the whole thing and bring it back into line at this point, because there are so many stooges that are put in charge of all these government ministries that it would take flushing the whole system and starting over. And even then, you're still dealing with people that have greed, people that want.
You're going to wind up right the same thing.
And it'll grow and turn into the monster that it is again. It's taken how many hundreds of years now for the country to turn into a cesspool the way it is, and they'll do it again, even if you clean it up.
But it could go, like, you know, and that's kind of like where I'm sitting at. That's what I see. Like if the government was just inept, wasn't important anymore, all your benefits, everything. If you're in the city, I think you're fucked. If you have community and you're, you know, I hate to say this because Mike's going to make fun of me, around the Amish is the best place to be, because they plow fields fucking with their feet, man, and horses and shit.
Right.
And they grow. And
no,
like
there's
here,
no doubt about it. Billy, where you are, you're always going to find groceries, butter, meats, the grain. There's always going to be stuff in the area for farmland like that. You're safe. If you're living in New York City, good luck to you.
Well, any city, our town.
Right.
Yeah.
City or town, man.
Yeah.
Did you sell your house, Mike?
Pardon me?
No,
that's, I think, five people we've gone through now. And now we even lowered the price. And the biggest problem that we're having right now is people getting mortgages. Thank you, Biden.
Well, yeah, they got to be rich. You got to find a businessman.
Banks ain't loaning
one guy, the bank told him they wanted 10% interest. The guy backed out. We had to refund his deposit.
Is there any
Who's
way gonna
pay
you can 10%? Lease it out as a business.
Yeah, no, I don't want. I remember that. Remember that movie Pacific Palisades with Keaton. Ever since I saw that movie, the last thing I'd want to be is a landlord. That movie scared the shit out of me.
Yeah,
Holy crap.
That's true today.
It was worse than any horror movie I ever saw when I was a kid. Holy shit. If you ever seen that, watch that movie, Pacific Palisades.
I think I have. Yeah, I don't remember much.
Young couple bought a building, and they figured they just got married, and they rented out the first floor. They thought the rent would help pay for the building, and they were going to remodel and fix it. And it was Keaton. And, man, he took them down. He ended up ripping the walls out of there. I couldn't do anything. He knew the law inside and out. It was up in San Francisco. He knew how to do it. Mm-hmm. He couldn't touch it.
I know a little bit about New York real estate, because a friend of mine was moving his Apple aftermarket repair. And he was complaining. He was leasing places, and he was complaining. With some, there was a good spot, but he could tell that the landlord was going to be a pain in the ass, meaning coming in and fucking up. You know what I mean? Make sure I ain't fucking shit up. And he's like, I'm okay with that, you know, in the beginning. But then, you know, the next week we should be good. And he's like, you know, that was actually part of his decision making was, I'm not going to be able to deal with this guy. How long is he going to bug me for? He had to have a really sick landlord, Mike.
I'd rather just sell it and walk away. I want to get out of here. I mean, that's still our dream. But in the meantime, you guys know what we're going through, which wasn't planned. But what are we going to do? You know?
Well, you know, you don't see that much more, Mike. You know that? You know, that's what I did.
What?
You know, I did with Grandpa and Grandma here, you know. I took care of them. And like you take care of, you know, pops there, you know, that, and you know, you don't see it much. Most children will throw them in a fucking nursing home. Fuck them.
Yeah,
you know?
No. Even my mom.
Donald's
been
out here
for 6 months now. Her dementia's gotten worse, so she has to have people with her 24/7. As long as she's sleeping right now, she gets up at night. But as long as she's sleeping right now, I could stay on the phone. If she gets up, I gotta go.
Right.
You know, but her, she's hard of hearing, so I'm in the next room and she doesn't hear me.
Well, you need to take a look at this this herb. You know, I'm in the herb thing, man. But you need to take a look. You need to look at
if I make her smoke anything, it'll be like Cheech and Chong.
No, not that.
I'm
might help her, but
with
no.
You, I know. I'm joking with you.
No, it's called cardamom, man. Cardamom.
Yeah.
M-O-M. Take a look at that. They say it works really good with people with Alzheimer's and dementia.
Is she not eating much?
What?
Is she not eating?
No, she's eating fine. Her memory is really, really going. I mean, even after 10 minutes after she has a conversation, she'll forget 5 minutes. She'll forget what was said and what was – and she's imagining. I'm noticing right now that she's having trouble differentiating between what's a dream and what's reality.
Oh, wow. How old is she?
97.
Oh, God bless her. Oh my gosh!
But she realizes that she'll come and go, and she'll say, you know, like my memory's really, really bad. I said, Mom, you're gonna forget me someday. You might not know who I know. I'll never forget you. I said, okay, you're saying that, but I said, be prepared. We're up against something that's no joke.
How's her health?
Good. Well, it's fine, but she's very frail. It's tough getting her to walk and. But they put her on a new medicine that calmed her. Oh, my God, it's wonderful. I mean, she was having anxiety attacks before and everything. No more. No.
Right.
Right.
Well, God bless her. Give her a hug for me, Mike. Put an arm around her, would you?
I wouldn't put her in the nursing home. Nursing home, this is her house. These are her things. She's comfortable here in her house.
Right. Right.
You know,
and
like you said, other people
like said, you
other people
that.
Told
Mike,
me that. They said, just put her in a nursing home. Get rid of her. Put her. No. What?
Yeah,
Mike.
Fuck that.
Let me ask you, what's that caretaker's, how much you paying for the caretaker? Roughly.
The first week that we had, because of the doctors and the nursing home, specified that she had to have 24 hours somebody with her. All the time from now on. And I went to that visiting angels. It was $3,200 for 1 week. Oh, my Lord.
For one week?
That. I can't afford that for 1 week. 24-hour care, 7 days a week. And
visiting
they
angels?
They sleep over.
Visiting
so they're sleeping. Jeez. You know, I mean, they sleep and they get up and if she gets up. But, you know, that's a lot of we can't afford that. So then I found this other lady that I found her through the church, and she doesn't speak English. She only speaks Greek. She's from
Perfect.
The old country.
Perfect.
And that's fine, and it's old school stuff. She cooks homemade dinners for my mom, and my mother's, for some miracle, even though, I mean, my mother was born here. So she spoke Greek when she was a young girl. My grandparents were both from Greece, and but the Greek came back to her. My mother can speak with her. She communicates with her fine.
That's great.
That's so they get along fine, and this lady's 900 a week.
Seven days
a week, 24-hour care.
Are you paying it directly to her or to an organization?
Directly to her.
Excellent. I like that. Yes, absolutely. You know, I had, you know, they said because of my hip, bad as my hip is, I had to go get an evaluation done. Okay, so I went and got this evaluation done for the hospital shit. They said I'm eligible for home care. I said, yeah, really? They said, yeah.
Really?
And they sent some, yeah. And I said, why would I be eligible for home care? Well, because you can't get around.
Yeah, but I know you. If you specified what you want, your wife would get very upset. You can't do that. I know you got to send.
Well, I know, but you know, I'm thinking,
blonde.
But you know, could you see that? You know,
you have to wear a bikini. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, Dallas, in Sweden. Could you see
Ukraine?
This state worker shows up here at my house to this other evaluation. I mean, to check the house and all this shit like that. And I said, well, you want to go into my studio? She goes, studio? Huh. I said, yes. She goes, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a radio show host. I do a blog talk show. You know, I'm a podcaster. I said, I'm also a drummer, guitarist, you know, and I have a studio. I actually have a, you know, big studio out there on the other part of the property. And she goes, well, no, but yes, I do. I want to see this. Okay. And I asked, do you think I really need help? And she's seen that drum kit. She's, oh, my God, look at that masterpiece. And, yeah, it's pretty neat, ain't it? Yeah. But I said, you know, I still play. I mean, I can't. My hip is getting to me. But, every time I think of hip surgery, I think of you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think, oh, fuck, no, man. I can't have that.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah, man. Yeah, boy.
Stop thinking about Mike and his hip surgery. Think about me and my hip surgery.
Yeah, yours worked.
Yeah, you're one in a million, like a lottery winner, you know? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Why, you having trouble now?
My knee, I don't know. My cousin's daughter had her hip replaced also. It was the same left hip replaced on the same day as mine. And she went and is happy with her knee, her hip. She went through a different recovery thing than what I did. She went through physical therapy. And when I asked my surgeon what he was going to do, you know, as far as physical therapy and stuff, he says, I'm not going to put you in physical therapy. All you have to do is walk. Just walk.
Well,
and that's what I did, you know. And, I mean, it was a little difficult for me to just walk because I had it done on December 21st, and it was winter outside. It wasn't like I could go outside and go walking down the street. Because the other thing he said was, just walk, but don't fall. And if you got to fall, twist yourself around to hit the other hip.
Oh, shit.
So
well, that's good advice.
That would be good. Now, I will say this, that my son had his knee replaced, and he's on his one. He had his knee replaced many years ago, and it was fine. And then he wore it out. Then he went in again last year for hip replace or for to get a new knee, you know. And he had the same problems you did, Mike. It got infected. They replaced it, got infected, put a temporary in till they could get the infection completely gone, out of control, got his new knee. And I saw him probably a week after his final knee replacement on that knee with his new knee. And I saw him probably 2 weeks after that, and that fucker was up and walking, you know, and I was chewing on his ass because he was walking without a cane or a lot of times, you know, and hobbling around. But he said it's absolutely fantastic, you know, with his new knee.
Well,
and everything was going fine. And then, it was about about 3-4 weeks ago, I get a call from him. He's in the fucking ER room at the hospital. And he dislocated that knee.
Oh, Jesus.
Somehow. He was sitting on the floor, and when he was getting up, something happened, and the knee popped out, and he was in the ER. And here comes the fun part. Okay. So the ER doctor and stuff had all taken, you know, all the x-rays and stuff, and they were trying to determine, you know, what they were going to do with him. And said, well, you know, in the morning, we're going to talk to your knee doctor and talk to him about, you know, surgery on your knee. And Walter goes, no, you want to talk to my knee doctor? He said, yeah. He said, well, we'll give him a call. The ER doctor said, well, we plan to as soon as the clinic opens up. Walt said, no, you want to talk to my doctor? I got his phone number. And he called him up. Walt's knee doctor and him are pretty close to each other. And so they got each other's personal phone numbers. So Walt called the knee doctor up and, you know, explained to the knee doctor what was going on. And then Walt gave the phone to the ER doctor, and they talked about the situation. And the funny thing was, is that his knee doctor said, well, just, you know, put it back in place. You don't have to do surgery. You know, just, you know how you reset a dislocated shoulder or whatever, you know, you pull it and pop it and put it back into place, you know.
Yep.
And he, you know, his knee doctor said, knock him out, you know, before you do it. And he said, Walt is a big boy. I mean, he's a big boy. His nickname is Squatch for Sasquatch. That's how big the boy is.
Wow.
And the knee doctor said, knock him out and make sure you knock him out, because he will hurt you. He says, knock him out, because when you put it back into place, it's going to be very, very painful, and he would probably come up and kick all your asses.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. And within 15 minutes, Walter was awake again. His knee hurt it really hurt like hell, he said, but it felt so much better after they popped it into place. And about an hour or so after that, he walked out of the hospital.
Better than surgery.
Hmm. No shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man. That
dislocation was a weird thing.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of it.
Anyway, Rick, go get your hip replaced. You'll be so much happier.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question, okay? It was a pain in the ass with all the infections, excuse me, and all of that stuff you had to go through. But now that it's all done and your hip is back in place and everything, does it feel better than it did?
No, I still have pain after all this time, and I'm still taking the pain meds, and I'm not taking increasing the amounts, the same amount. And I just met with the surgeon last week. And he said that there are two things that he thinks it is. He said, you've got a lot of scar tissue. And he said, also, there's a particular tendon that wraps up around the hip. And he said, I want to try something. So I've got it scheduled. I guess they're going to do it in April, where I go in, and he said, using like an ultrasound, they go in and they inject some, I don't know what the hell, steroid or something, targeting one particular tendon. Then he said, what happens is, he said, that tendon could be pulling too tight, causing you constant pain. And he said, it's happened before in other people. And he said, if that's the problem, then let's try this injection, see if that relieves the pain. If it does and the pain goes away for a week or so, now we know that that's the tendon that's causing you this pain. And he said, if that's the case, then I can go back in, we can operate, and I can cut the tendon a little bit. I said, whoa. I don't like the idea of that, because I kick bass with my left foot. I'm an organist. I don't want you cutting any tendons, or because I'm having trouble kicking bass. I mean, if I'm walking a lot in a store, I'll start limping a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The more I'm on it,
well,
the more I know.
Well, there's now a friend of mine has done some other stuff. It's called Rolfing. You know what Rolfing is?
Yeah, where they beat the shit out of you with massages where you're crying.
Well, it's not really a massage. What they're doing...
It hurts.
It hurts, but it feels so much better after it's done, according to my friend. What they intend is to return the muscle and or the tendons back to where they're supposed to be in the body. You know, that's what happened to quite a few people, you know, is their muscles and from use and whatever, muscles and tendons will move from the position that they should be in, which causes you pain and problems. And then they move them back. And when they move them back, it hurts like a son of a bitch. But once they're back to where they're supposed to be, you know, after a few days, you know, from the initial pain, it's much better and the pain goes away. And that may be something, you know, if it's that tendon there, what it may really need to happen to it is that it just needs to be returned to the location that it should be in.
Yeah, I mean, I have to put up with pain all the time. It hurts. And it actually, at this point, like, it hurts worse than it did a year ago. And I told him, I said, what's going to happen when I get older?
Fuck.
And he said, he said, I don't know. He said, let's get working on finding out, let's identify what the pain is from.
I get pain in my hip that I had replaced every so often after I, you know, if I'm walking a long way or something like that. And my surgeon, you know, after talking to him and a few other folks, what they think has happened is you know, your bursa sac, you know, is becoming inflamed or whatever. And it could be that, you know, my hip is a silly millimeter off of where my old original hip was, putting pressure on the bursa sac, which in turn causes pain. But, you know, I know what it is. I know that I don't need to really do anything. Just get off my hip for a little bit and the pain will go subside and I'm fine.
But you said something like a sack. I don't want him touching my sack.
Oh,
that,
shit.
That ain't happening.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be painful.
So, you got sacks all over your body.
I do.
Every joint has like a bursa sack or something like that. And It's just a fluid filled.
Oh, the bursa sac. Oh, I thought you were talking about the nut sac. I'm sorry, wrong sac.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, well, whenever I think of hip surgery or replacement, I think a trailer hitch.
Listen,
is it 1/7-8 or a 2-inch? You know, what do you got going on there?
Anyway. Hey, Billy, see what you get to look forward to, Bill? That's what's coming up for you. You're next.
Yeah, buddy. You're on your way. Fucking right. Hands,
come
get in your
where?
Hands. And...
Yeah, where do you get older, Billy?
Yeah, you're fucked, buddy.
I'm going to be 60 in March, man.
Really?
I get pains everywhere. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it sucks, doesn't it?
After
40,
like,
it's over, man. The fun ride's over after 40. That's all there is to it.
Like
what? You know?
Like, you know, I get nerve pain.
Oh, shit.
Like when I pray.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. Like when I pray, I get, like,
I can't let him in.
In my hand. In my hand, it feels like I, you know, it's like, what the frig, man?
Huh.
In my feet. Yep. Terrible. But it's not. Whatever.
Well, you know, it's like this. I used to laugh at what I thought was my dad's funniest fucking joke. And his joke was, growing old ain't for pussies. And I used to laugh and laugh and laugh at that. Well, guess what? I'm not laughing no more.
Yeah, I think I've heard it 14 in my life. Yeah, but
Now I'm saying the joke.
Yeah, man.
To the younger crowd that is laughing about it, and you know, I just wish I could live long enough to watch the smile come off their face, and then the light bulb goes off in their head and says, "You know, he was right."
Uh-huh.
You know,
and then they go to the hospital, and the doctor comes in that was assigned to them, and they realize, wait a minute, this guy was part of that equality type. Do I want this guy operating on me?
But pretty soon it'd be ran by a fucking AI computer. The doctor and surgeon would be ran by an AI computer telling you how to do your shit right.
Yep.
I mean, it's even going to have compassion. I mean, it's going to be that smart. It's coming, man. It's coming. Telling you, man, it's not what you think.
What's
and this AI is going to be fucking rocking, man.
Well,
it's going to be making up every fucking
thing
you want.
With what
it's going to know everything about you, everything you do. It's going to watch everything you do every day. You ever see that fucking movie? What was it? Jim Carrey was in it where he's stuck in this world. What the fuck was the name of that?
Truman.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the world we're heading to. That's exactly what the fuck we're heading to.
I don't think we're going to make it.
Yeah, we are.
I don't think we're going to make it.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, we're already pretty fucking close now.
No,
you know,
I think
we might have to have facial recognition to them.
And you know
why
what?
Why does Walmart have that?
The big problems with AI might happen, not because of us. It might not be our fault at all. But you know how the Chinese have been really pushing it, and I bet you, just like COVID, there are going to be no safeguards or anything, and that's where we're going to have a problem, where their AI system is going to launch, or their AI system is going to do something with the world stock exchange or something. It could be from Russia or China. One of their AI systems is going to go fucking berserk, and I don't think it'll be us. I think it'll be them.
It won't. The AI system will not be going berserk. The AI system will be going as trained.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I think, Boyd. Because, like, I've actually watched AI-generated news. The news anchors look human. They look natural. You would think you're watching a regular, normal newscast. And it's all AI.
There was guys that did Ron DeSantis on America's Got Talent.
No, I see Ron DeSantis. Listen, Ron. This is Boyd's right, man. I seen Ron DeSantis, okay, put out a tweet or whatever he put out. He wasn't him, it was AI. Dropping out of the race and apologizing to Donald Trump. And how he was a disgrace, meaning
and it looked
you know,
real.
Himself, and it was, and it looked just like him, dude. It looked just, you would never be able to to tell. Yep.
Yeah.
And he was dropping out of the ring. It was bullshit. It was AI generated. Does he see a massacre of something that's AI generated? That may cause you to do something. That somebody's smarter than you already thought about how they want you to react. You can't trust anything right now. Nothing.
Well, to the people that program it, it's going to be doing exactly what they want. But to us on the receiving end, it'll be going berserk. It'll be not in our best interest. It won't be a good thing.
It'll be manipulating. It'll be manipulating you. Because you'll think it's real, but it's not. It's AI.
Billy, stop using big words. I'm in New York. You're going to get me arrested. Don't fucking do that. I told you.
I'm a big word I use, but
don't
serious.
Big words. You said that don't do that. Don't.
What, manipulate?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you go. Do it again. Don't take me away. Don't do that. You can't use big words in this state. Don't do that.
Yeah. Like Jehovah. Don't use the word Jehovah, or you'll be stoned.
Yeah, what the fuck, man? I don't trust anything at all. Nothing.
What?
I don't trust any news I hear.
No,
nothing.
Me neither. I don't.
I have seen a little bit of pattern in it where it's like, oh, look, like this guy who hit the gate. If you don't hear about it, it was an organic attack. It was a terrorist attack. If you do hear about him, it was a plan. I noticed that pattern as we move along here, you know. So that's why I wanted to give you the tip.
Yep.
You don't hear about him, it was organic, and then it's not, it was planned. Like, remember the guy who tapped the gate with his truck? And they literally had a picture of a Trump hat sitting fucking right there. On the ground. Okay, that was planned. He tapped it. He didn't ram it. You won't hear anything about this guy if he's organic. The other guy.
How about the other lady? Remember there was a lady they shot. Remember there was a kid in the back seat. They killed her. Remember that a while back.
In D.C.
All of a sudden, it dropped out of the news afterwards. It's like, okay.
Was it in D.C.?
Oh yeah. It happens all the time. You never hear the end of the story.
They can get away with murder now, guys.
They can.
The government can get away with murder right now. Just the way it is. It's just the way it is.
Well, they did with that Ashley Babbitt. They did. They got away with it.
So, you know, you just have to adapt to the situation and choose your friends carefully, I guess. You want to be able to trust them that they're not going to lose their minds and cause you drama. You know what I'm saying? Like, my daughter was calling me about her boyfriend. He's an alcoholic. And he lives with her. She's getting ready to kick him out. And so I had to talk to him. And, you know, he's talking about killing himself. And I'm like, Alex, I says, you can't do anything. Like, you can't call the cops. Do not get the cops involved in your business at this point. And she's like, yeah, I know. I that's the last thing you want. Because the system is so broken, you know, calling the system up for any kind of help that you may have 2 ago, don't even think about doing that. Fuck that. Like, you got to be careful if you go to the ER at this point. You know, and I hope your mother's medicine is not contributing to her memory loss.
No, it started before. The memory loss started way before.
No, I'm saying it may make it worse. I'm saying some medications can aggravate it, something that's already there.
Right.
That's why I asked, what was the medication? I mean, that's just a fact, man. You know, I wouldn't trust doctors today
doctors are more in selling product than they're helping people anymore, man. They're too busy selling product.
That the doctor didn't hear, oh, anxiety. Oh, let me give her some Xanax or let me give her some a low dose Klonopin, you know, or something like that. But that's going to make you, that's a benzodiazepine, and that's going to cause memory loss, going to make you tired a lot, and all that stuff to combat anxiety. But there's some other ways to combat the anxiety that I think, I wouldn't use Klonopin, that's for sure. That lasts too long.
I'll tell you the name of it. Hang on. I'll show you the name of it right now.
I hope it's not
called,
a benzo. Wouldn't surprise me.
It's called Olanzapine.
Olanzapine?
Xanax.
L-A-N.
Xanax, isn't it? That's Xanax. That's Xanax, man.
O-L-A-N-Z.
O-A-L? O-A-L?
I got O-L-A-N-Z-A-P-I-N-E.
Yes, O-D-T.
Okay.
5 milligrams. And I just give her a half of a pill. It says here to give her one whole pill in the morning and one at night. I give her a half a pill in the morning and a half a pill at night.
How many milligrams?
All right, here we go, Mike. It's used. It may also be used with other medicines, lithium, but the treatment of mania, mixed episodes. So it may have like an off-label thing for anxiety. Let me put in anxiety. They love it. They love the fucking for anxiety.
But I give her a half of a pill. I mean, I give her half the dose that they told me to.
You should give her the dose that they tell you to, not to make up your own mind and decide what it is. You should do what the doctor tells you. All right.
The doctor said I'm doing fine.
Hold on. There's been some research. This might be a good thing, Mike, into using it for anxiety. Sin has not yet been approved as treatment. All right. All right, so, okay, it has been approved. That's in the UK. Help with anxiety. All right, let me put in side effects, memory loss side effects. Get to the fix of it here. Memory loss. There we go. Study and analysis. Is it function? From 5 to 5.
Before we were giving her this medicine, even if I took her out for a car ride, if I left her in the car to put gas in the car, she'd have an anxiety attack being in the car by herself.
No,
she's fine.
Here we go. Impairments and reaction speed range 23% to 42% have an issue with it. Let me see. From 8% to 2% to 42%. That's crazy. I'm looking for memory loss. Attention deficit work, memory deficit. From 9 to 51 impairments in reaction speed. Medication might be contributing, Mike. I'm just saying. And there's other stuff out there. And if I would approve for it, how hyper is she not before she was on that medication?
Pretty, very, very hyper.
I would start with my mom. When she was 73, she was taking them. I would start with, you could take, a Xanax and break that in half. Right? When she's starting to feel anxious. So she's got to open her mouth and be like, I'm feeling anxious. And, let me go get you your, little Xanax, and just give her that. And that should chill her out for quite a while. And you may see some improvement in her memory, Does she get them constantly, like a general anxiety?
Yeah, it would. You couldn't predict what would kick it off. But some of the other medicines also affect balance. That's what the problem was. They tried her on other stuff, but she's already frail and she's not stable as it is. So that made it worse when she was falling.
What's kicking it off is it's like a whole body sensation. It's like a wave. all right? And it's really weird. It makes you feel really weird just in your biological being. That's what it feels like.
All right.
So that automatically, you know, starts pumping chemicals into your system because that weird thing just happened to your body. And then, you know, some people, they buy into it. Some people, you know, go to the emergency room. I've seen people go to the emergency room. I've seen people, I've done calls as opposed to a heart attack. It's either, you know, morphine addict will need a fix or, you know, somebody having an anxiety attack.
Right.
You know, I never seen anybody like, no, I heard about a guy and where his pain was in his big toe. And he had a major heart attack. That's where his pain was. Ain't that weird?
Oh, shit.
His big toe on his left-hand side. Yep.
I thought it was supposed to be your left arm.
Dude, I don't know. Yeah, it is. And pain in your chest, but his symptom was it got radiated. The pain all got radiated down to his fucking foot.
Wow.
That's what he's complaining about. My fucking toe hurts. My big toe's killing.
But we never fucking know. We never know, man.
No, we had a heart attack. He was having a major heart attack.
But you just never know what shit's going to hit you,
no,
man.
No, you don't know.
It's like everybody's a gambler. Everybody's a goddamn gambler. So, you know, we all are. How we live our lives, it has something to do with it. But there again, time to say, fuck, you know. And we just had a school teacher killed up north of here in a car accident, you know, up on Highway 44, you know. Went between her and a tractor trailer and a FedEx truck. Wasn't good.
Yeah.
We had at least one, I think, here during the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the call was, she's unresponsive, she's blue, and acting weird.
Huh.
Okay, well, if you're unresponsive, you're not acting like anything. And if you're blue, and unresponsive,
no,
you know, and you're not.
Yeah, not really.
You know.
A couple months ago, a very good old friend of mine in Santa Barbara, California. I mean, he's, I'd say, 61 years old, 62.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me up, you know, every now and then. He would give me a buzz once a month. Mike, how are you? What's going on? And everything, old friend and everything, called me up.
Right.
2 days later on his Facebook page, I saw, you know, rest in peace. We miss you. What?
Yeah.
You never know. Like you said, it's a gamble.
No. It is. That's right. You can believe in
sense.
God and all that bullshit and, you know, all that wacko shit. But,
I don't think it's wacko.
Every day is a gamble. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's why you want to believe in. It's easy to believe in God.
Well, yeah, it's easy, but there again, but
alien. People
but
think
I'm
alien. All that fucking stuff. You
but I'm the engineer
man.
Type. You know, I gotta see some proof of that. I don't see the proof.
The way the world is today, it's turning everybody into pessimists.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, you have to learn, I guess. I mean, I can't.
Well, what's there to learn?
I can never show anybody.
That's all
the
good shit that happened back then. There ain't no good shit happening now. So what's up?
Well,
you come down to you one time.
Happening in the world, but there's good
let
shit
you go on your fucking own
this.
And you fuck it up, whatever. Who cares? That seems
no,
to be the pattern.
Shit. Yeah, but look, what happened in the world doesn't affect me at all. Good shit happens for me.
Oh, it does?
Yeah,
okay.
All the time.
Okay, that's cool. All right, well,
you know,
that's cool in your world,
but
that ain't the rest of the world, really.
I believe, like, you know, the sun's going to rise for sure. Like, I know that is true. And how I know is from that is from that crazy recording.
Wonder if it don't. Won't the sun never come back tomorrow?
I mean, Mike, I played that for my priest.
What, the sun will come out tomorrow by Shirley Temple?
No, that... The thing that I recorded that we used to argue about.
Oh, yeah,
Mike.
Right. Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah,
he
I know. Yeah.
It. He's supposed to give it to the bishop, but I think you know, they never put out the third secret of Fatima because it says grateful government. That doesn't necessarily mean, well, a lot of governments are in bad shape, but, you know, grateful government. I'm like, what does that mean? Scripturally, grateful government. I don't know.
I don't know. When, when I was 13, I went to Greece, and we were shown as kids, you know, it was a summer camp for Greek-American kids. And they took us around, and they showed us a lot of strange stuff with the church, a lot of, like, we went to the island of Zakynthos, and I think I told you that. We saw the body of St. Denis, his name, Greek name, Dionysios. And
incorrect.
The body's there, hundreds of years old. The body's right there in front of you. And the guy
incorrupt.
Didn't decompose.
Yeah, that's called incorrupt, yep. Is he a saint? Must be.
You know, and also there are stories where the body walks, his slippers or sandals, whatever, they wear out. They have to change the sandals. It's like, what? And so anyway, there were a lot of things that we saw. There was behind one church, there was a spring. It stunk. It was sulfur. Oh, my God, what a smell out of this. But the tree behind it was covered with chains that had grown. The tree had grown into the chains. I can't even tell you how many chains were on it. And so what's going on here? And they said, well, in the old days, when people were lunatics, the maniacs, dangerous ones, they used to cover them with chains to hold them down, to control them. And when they drink from this spring, they heal. They'd be healed, and they'd take the chains off and put them on the tree. And then I asked a priest, I said, why don't they advertise this stuff? All of these things that you're showing us, these things that we've seen, and why isn't this publicized to let people understand? And this old priest over in Greece told me, he said, the church doesn't feel that they should have to advertise. You should believe in God from your heart out of belief, out of true, clean belief, rather than have somebody hold up something and say, see, now do you believe?
And then you talk yourself out of it anyway. Like, you'll come up with some reason not to believe in God. That's what people do. It's easier to, you know, explain, like look at the Shroud of Turin. I mean, even to this day, they can't reproduce it. They don't know how it was done. They're talking radiation, burst of light, all kinds of stuff. You know, he was standing up. It looked, you know, another, you know, more instruments and stuff. And it was like, it looks like that when that happened, that image happened, he was caving and standing up almost. Like in that position, but levitating. Anyway, it's just another theory,
yeah.
But they can't disprove it.
Mm-hmm.
But see,
it's interesting stuff. There's a lot of questions,
see,
a lot of mysteries.
But what it was for me, Mike, okay, at the end of the day, because I was trying to rule out everything, which I did, was, okay, I have these voices telling me grateful government is going to fall April 24, all right? And then I asked about the United States. When does the United States government fall? Quick. What's the tipping point? Speech. That's what's there. It's crazy. Like I said, the priest could hear it. And then five eat it. Now, that means, if I know five died on January 6th. So then, I ask stupid questions like, you know, is this thing useful? Yes. Any personal message for me? No. So when I had that analyzed by, like, audio experts, I guess, two of them, one in the UK, and they said it's impossible because we can't hear that low. Like, where everything's coming from is at 3.4 hertz. Don't blow your lid, Mike. That's what I was told by both of them.
Right.
One, the first guy here in the U.S. that it changed his life, but he was trying to do communication at that level, you know, like he thought he could make a communication device anyway. He had changed his life. And the guy in the U.K. needed to go see a psychiatrist and get either an extra med or his meds upped a bit for about a week. He literally freaked out, man. It's the craziest thing I ever seen happen on Discord in a public forum, you know, that people were talking about UFOs and shit. You know, so they had this guy who could do sound, and he freaked out. And guess what? They didn't want to have anything to do with me after that because it scared the fuck out of them. This guy was older. He was dying. He was real sick. You know, I think he thought it was God or the heavenly realm. Because if you read The Book of Heaven, you know, Saint Louisa. I don't know if she's a saint yet or not. Louisa something. That has all kinds of prophecy in it, like World War One, World War Two. But it's funny because, guys, like, I may do a wonder just to see how you creatures react and get amusement from it. You know, it's really right. interesting. Yeah, it's really, really interesting. Like, our connection to the higher realm. But it's there. I know it's there because I heard it, and it predicted shit that's about to happen. Well, some of it already has. Like, we could all agree now that we don't have free speech, right?
No, we don't.
No. That was the first thing. And then it was five eat it. I took that as, you know, the five that died at January 6th, because that's the only other biggest thing besides losing the First Amendment. But anyway, it doesn't matter. That isn't to make you believe. That was a gift to me because I was seeking it, so I believe. And I got to tell you, prayer works, you know, and that connection definitely works. You know, we're kind of here to suffer, guys. The lack of a better phrase is, you know, the higher being's entertainment and victory.
Yeah.
That's the way I understand it from listening to, you know, Lucia. if you want to see visual proof, Ron, look up Marian apparition in Egypt. And they took pictures and video of that. You could call that UFO if you wanted to.
Okay.
Only it was shaped like the Virgin Mary and shaped like doves or angels. Right. And somebody says, you know, what can I do now with all this crap as bad as it is? I'm like, just fucking pray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think with Biden in charge and the people that are running the show, I don't think prayer is going to help right now. I think this thing's got to work itself out, and this guy's going to get out of office.
It ain't going to work itself out. It ain't going to work itself out, Mike. It's going to get worse or get better.
Right. But you want to work out for you and your family.
Well, no, I mean work out as far as he's got to get out of office.
Yeah. This shit's got to stop this bullshitting around. He don't give a fuck. Every time something's going to conflict, he's on vacation. Not to, you know, this shit with the Secretary of Defense, and he ain't worth a fuck anyway. And both him and the second one below that one was off on vacation. Well, who the fuck, you know, really?
Who's running? Really? Who's running anything?
Who's working this motherfucker? Exactly. Who's running the fucking game here? So nobody, everybody's on vacation. You know, we don't need military defense.
Who's calling
the shots?
Who's on the phone?
Yeah. Fuck it. Let the people do it.
You know, they created such a machine that each one of these ministries, department of this, department of that, they run themselves autonomously.
Yeah, let AI run it. Let AI run the government. I'm telling you.
Pretty close to what's happening right now, except we have political activists running it.
Yeah. Yeah, that have including capabilities of saying something. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Department of Justice, you know, the border. I mean, wow.
Oh, that's the end.
Yeah. That was just brought on. It was brought on to us. And we know who did it. Yeah, there's a lot of players in the game. Fucking right there is. But, you know, this is a whole, it's like letting stupid people play with a fucking power tool. You know, you just don't handle a power tool that's plugged in. That's, you know.
Yeah, but the ones that are there, Ron, it's like they don't want to wait for the change. They don't want the government to evolve slowly. They want the change now. They want what they want, the electric.
Exactly.
Everything
drive-through.
Now.
That's what I've said about the remote control and fucking drive-through restaurants. You know, if you ain't a drive-through right now restaurant, you ain't worth the fuck. If you take over 2 minutes to get my fucking food, you are fucking worthless to me. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm guilty of it. I've sat in line for fucking 30 minutes before these motherfuckers, you know. Yeah, you get a little fucking nervy about it, you know. You get to the window, what the fuck, you know. But you don't want to be too much of an asshole because they send, hey, this guy's fucking with me. Fuck his shit up, man. You know what I'm saying? Before he gets it.
I get everything.
I'm cool
with it. I think fucking delivered, man.
Do what?
They got to put it in this box and drive away.
What?
No, I get most of my shit delivered.
Okay, yeah, well, that's cool. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I get to deliver all the time.
You're not going to get me in fucking Walmart. You know what I mean? Definitely not.
Right.
Or any store. You know, I mean, legit. Legit.
But that's what they want. They want it that way. That's the way they want it, Billy.
I guess. I don't know.
It is. That's the way they want it. Amazon was designed by more than just one motherfucker, trust me. You know what I'm saying? That was a whole fucking thing. It's like that Temu, that new Chinese place you can order shit real cheap from them motherfuckers. That's all set up for a reason.
Yep. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, somebody says, hey, are you a little paranoid? I'll be like, damn, hell yeah, I'm a little bit fucking paranoid.
Yeah,
you know,
they tried it with eBay.
Look,
eBay was the birth child of it all. eBay was the birth child. Okay, then Amazon came along.
I'm just saying.
Right. Right. But they want us to live in a digital world. They want to be able to watch everything you buy, everything you do, which they've already been doing. You know, so everything you do, you know. They questioned you 3 years ago. Did you remember buying this fucking pack of fucking Wrigley Stubble Spearmint
what
gum?
Talking about
you know, at this location. Yeah, at this location. I'm talking about your personal life.
But
did you see in Florida, now in Florida, to be a fucking worker in the state of Florida, you know, public worker, you got to let them know all your fucking information. If you're in office or anything like that, doesn't matter. You got to give all your fucking information on your assets, your money, how much money you got, how much shit you own.
To
the public.
To the public?
Yeah.
No, I don't share shit to the public, man. That's not a good idea.
Well, I maybe so, but there's a lot of people that has resigned and are quit, and there's fucking a lot of people ain't wanting to run for shit now. They want to know all about your money. They want to know all about your shit. Ain't that something? You know.
I know that.
That's been a trend around the country.
On the front side of it, I don't think that's all that bad, just because of what we've already seen and are watching, you know.
Yeah, I think the ones
how somebody could come in, a pauper into Congress or someplace like into politics, and a couple years later, you know, they're got millions.
That's one thing I like about New Hampshire. About that system, I hope they never change it. Where it's been the same pay scale since the 1800s. You get elected to the Senate or the Assembly, the pay is $100 a year and a license plate. That's all you get. That's why they don't have Chuck Schumer's and all the liberals controlling the state. $100 a year.
That's your voluntary. See, that's a good system. That's because you're not gaining. You can't gain anything from it.
Exactly. They should do that.
That's the way to do it, man. It's basically your volunteer work.
Yep. $100 a year.
Yep. So that's awesome.
That's why people ask, they say, how come New Hampshire is surrounded by liberal states and it never turned liberal and they never took away the guns? That's why. Because we don't have the retard politicians. They go to Massachusetts, New York, and everything else.
You got to realize that those politicians that are going to those states aren't retards.
Oh, they know what they're doing. Oh, yeah.
They're conniving motherfuckers.
Yep. In New Hampshire, they can't hide the money, so they stay away from it. It's like you can't go into politics and hide. How can you do it? Like you said, leave a millionaire if you can't. So I wish they'd do that nationwide. But what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's see how long it stays like that. Will they change it? it depends who they get for a governor. And if they do, I mean, once they change it, forget it. Mm. Show's over. It was nice.
It was fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
William Penn's statue removed. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is 5 hours ago.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, I read about that.
It's not the one.
William Penn, you know, Pennsylvania ain't named after William Penn no more. It's named after now William Pussyfoot.
Somebody complained about it. That's an aspect of our society because, you know, that's what they do, man. They erase history. What was that saying that one Russian said? You know, I'm not worried about, you know, I know what's going to happen in the future, but I can't find out what happened in the past. Something like that. I mean, he made it more elegant than I did, but that's what he meant. Like they totally erased
those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
No, I'm saying it happened in Russia, in communism. When they were going communist, that's what they did.
Right.
They started erasing their history, man. Taking statues down. Same exact fucking thing. History all fucking rhymes, don't it?
Teach the history in the school so the kids don't understand it. They can't
illegal. It's illegal. It's illegal to teach history in school nowadays.
No, I wouldn't doubt it.
If you teach the students history and they learn where they came from and how they got to where they're at, they couldn't control them.
No, it's considered racist. That's why they don't teach it. They say it's racist.
It's racist because they don't want anybody to know how they got to where they're at.
You're right.
And why things are happening around them. If they don't know their history, they can make the same things happen again and again and again, and nobody will know why.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, is there any people out there? I've seen YouTube videos where they ask American history. You know, who's on the $1 bill? Who's on the $1 bill? They don't know. They don't know the face.
No.
I mean, that's how I recognize it, by the face. Or who's on the $20 bill? Who's on the quarter? Who's on the penny? They have no idea. They have no idea who the faces on their money is. So, yeah, you're right, man. Fucking right. But you know something? There's nothing that you can do about it.
No.
Not right now. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, let it fall. And then just be part of the, you know, rebuilding, or leave shit for your kids that they could use to, you know, be part of the rebuilding.
You know,
I'm optimistic.
If you let it fall as is, there's nothing to grab a hold of and learn from to rebuild to.
No. If our government
fell. She's getting out. She's getting. I gotta go.
All right, Mike.
Okay.
Nice hearing from you. Nice hearing from you.
When she's done, try calling back in.
All right.
You can't.
Let me see. All right.
Can't.
Talk to you later, Mike.
Went over. All right, bud. Hey, nice to hear from him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. You can't call back in once we're in overtime. Anyway. You can't.
Oh.
The board's down. No, I can't bring him back and try to call back.
Well, shit.
Yep, he's gone.
And I sent Kat a message to call in, letting her know that Mike was here. It'd be like old times.
Yeah, that was great. Well, she never showed up. Well,
no.
Shit. Well, then cool. I'm going to can this anyway then. Oh, I'm way past my bedtime. I got so much shit to do, and we got a bad storm coming in too tomorrow. Apparently, that's what they're saying, but I don't know. my bunch of bullshit.
You got a bench. You got a bench.
Yeah, we're supposed to get Bad's some fun rain here.
Yeah.
We got probably about 6 inches from the last storm. Yeah.
All right. Well, this is a push from the north coming down. Finally, going to push this southeast wind and take it out and bring a cold whip in here. So,
you know,
thanks, boys.
Unless
thanks,
it's
Canada.
Unless it's an E5 tornado, it ain't bad.
No, I know. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. But I got to get shit done in the morning before it comes. Because we're supposed to hit single digits like fucking the end of the week. You know, we're supposed to hit single digits like a motherfucker. So I got
you. Oh, really?
Check. Oh, yeah. Fuck
cool.
Yeah. Single digits.
Cool. Then
man.
You and I can talk the same language then.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We got it last year. We got hit fucking, well, we was like 90 hours below freezing for 90 hours, you know, and fucking everybody's shit froze up. Everybody I fucking know shit froze up, except people that are plumbing
yeah.
PEX. You know, PEX lines are good to go. You live through it, you know. Which all things, everything here is all PEX. I learned my lesson years ago. But, you know, yeah, I hate to see it, but I got to make sure the wood stacks right. I got to mourn that motherfucker. I get some more wood. And it rained all day today. Today was cold. It highest it got was 37 a day. That's as far as it went. And it just stayed there.
Yeah.
My thing's calculating. I don't know temperatures right now. But anyway, it got down to 32 in a couple spots, but never, nothing stuck, but, you know. But it will be when it hits a single ditch, it'll be sticking. They're saying this one round ain't going to be bad, but the next one behind this one, next motherfucker behind it is going to be a bitch for us. So I got to put a blade on my tractor and shit. You know, you got to do shit. So, you know, fucking, I don't have to. I can say fuck it and don't do nothing. Mm-hmm. I could always do that.
You fuckers and your schizophrenic winners.
You know, I'm not schizophrenic. It's just like I'm going to be able to get the fuck out of here if I have to. No. Walmart might have a fucking cell phone.
Yeah,
I got brace,
you know,
brace
got,
my ass
we
there.
I got winter here, and it's been winter since October, and we're just moving along just fine. Just like hell, it's just fucking winter. It's just another day.
Another day
in paradise.
We're ready for this because, you know, we get to live in all four seasons, you know. We get all four seasons here, so. Occasional tornado, you know. It's just the South. It's Song of the South. You know, sweet potato pie and shit in my mouth. Shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to blow this camp, fellas. Thanks for everybody coming to the show tonight. We'll probably do it again tomorrow night. We'll just keep on trucking until I can't truck no more for a while. Until something gets me all tied the fuck up, as usual. My loving life I live. Being crippled, nobody cares.
You'll be sitting back saying, "Ooh, I'm so cold. I can't do a show tonight. I'm so cold."
I put a log in the fire. It's too much effort. Too much effort to put a log in the fire. Fuck it, man. Nope, but I ain't gonna go. Thank you, boy. Appreciate you. I'll see you guys later. So have a good night or good morning.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Condition by William Smith.